In the beginning of chapter 12, we can read that the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And I stopped here for a moment. What is the promise of God to Abraham? Before the promise comes a commandment. Abraham, do this what I tell you to do, what I command you to do. Get out. Get out of thy country, and out from thy kindred, and from thy father's house. And where shall I go? Abraham might have asked. And the Lord said, unto a land that I will show thee. What did Abraham know about that land? I guess nothing. Complete uncertainty. And that's what the Lord is asking from Abraham. Come out. Remember that moment in the gospel presentation when a blind man was led to the Lord Jesus for healing. And the Lord took him out, away. Away from the people, away from the society, alone with the Lord Jesus out there. And the Lord applied the healing therapy to the eyes of this man. And his eyes were opened, and the Lord asked him, do you see anything? And he looked from a distance at the people, and he said, I see the people moving. He knew that they were people because they are moving, but they look like trees. So I would think that his vision was blurry, not clear. And the Lord applied that therapy again, second time, and the man looked and saw everything clearly. But before that, before he saw everything clearly, he had to leave the place where he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to leave that place and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the direction the Lord Jesus led him. And the Lord Jesus led this blind man outside, away from the others. Away from the environment in which he was blind and was used to live with his blindness. And then, from that point, he had to follow the Lord. Being yet blind, he had to follow the Lord, and the Lord led him and came to a point away from the others, along with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there, he received his sight at the second application of the spiritual therapy that the Lord used. And you know, I perceive that therapy was humiliating. First he had to acknowledge, Lord, I don't see, I'm blind. I'm in need of thy healing. Second, he followed the Lord as the Lord was leading him, guiding him in his blindness. And then he came to a place, and then the way the Lord was applying that procedure of healing is very humiliating. But you see, when we are humbled before the Lord, is the process of healing. And second time, finally, the man can see clearly. Now, it's not necessary anymore that the Lord hold this man by hand and lead him to the place of healing. This man is now enabled to follow the Lord of his own goodwill, because he can see who his healer and his Lord is. So here, the Lord is telling Abraham, I'm used to the name Abraham, but that comes later. At this time, his name is Abram. He is still a Gentile man, an unconverted man. And yet, he received the calling of the Lord. The Lord has chosen to call Father Abram and lead him out of his country and out of his nation. And here is the promise. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. But when, Lord? Nothing about the calendar. The Lord did not say, when will that happen? Remember when the disciples, after the resurrection, and just before the ascension of our Lord Jesus, they asked the Lord, Lord, will thou now make the kingdom of Israel? And what did the Lord say? Oh, you know nothing about the things. You really don't understand anything. You look at everything in a different way. No, he didn't say that. The only thing that he wanted to teach them at that moment, it is not for you to know. The hour, the day of the Lord is his own, but he will prepare you for everything that will come at the appointed time. You just follow the Lord. So the Lord says in the verse number 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Bless them that bless thee. Plural. There will be more than one that will bless thee. And I will curse him that curses thee. Only one will curse Abraham. Many, the children of Abraham, will be like the stars of heaven, and they will bless him. And I think that even the angels of heaven will bless Abraham, because he believed the Lord. He obeyed the calling of the Lord. But there will be one that will curse Abraham, that will always try to lead him astray, to put a snare in his path, and somehow to persuade Abraham not to follow the Lord, to take his own direction and his own course. The one that cursed Abraham is Satan. He is the curse himself. And whenever he managed to somehow join himself to our way of thinking, he is cursing us. We receive some of his curse. But the Lord says, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now Abraham is going to live a long life, but still less than 200 years. And then Abraham will die. How shall in Abraham be blessed all the families of the earth? Perhaps at that time Abraham had no idea how long the world will continue before the prophecies of Enoch, the seven men after Adam, will be fulfilled. Behold, the Lord cometh, and the end of all evil on the earth is spelled out that moment, that day. But today we can see how many generations, how many hundreds, thousands of years have passed since Abraham walked upon the face of this earth, and still in Abraham all the families of earth are blessed. And this book has been read all over the world. So Abraham departed, as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, not exactly a youth, 75 years old. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. What do we see here? When they were called of the Lord to forsake everything, they took everything, some necessities, put it on a stick, over their shoulder, and walk away, leaving everything to the other people. No. They took everything that they could, and this is an example for us today. When we follow the Lord, when we hear His calling, we take all our ability, all our income, all our possessions, everything to follow the Lord. When you see a believer that is following the Lord by attending the church meetings, reading the Word of God, not engaging in any of the violation of the Ten Commandments and similar things, and yet not using all that he has on the path the Lord is leading him, you know, in his best, that believer is similar to Lot, but not to Father Abraham. And we will see that later when Lot moves to Sodom and Gomorrah. So, they took everything, and everything is usable in the service, in the ministry for which they have received the calling of the Lord. Another very interesting thing is, they went forth, that's the second part of the verse number 5, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. You see what happened to a man that is honest in his intentions, sincere before the Lord. Not like many people of today that say, oh, I love the Lord. But somehow they just, with their work and their style, they indicate they love the world, not the Lord. And it wouldn't be any benefit to us to point our fingers at them if we do not learn something from that. How often we are tempted to love the world and to say that we love the Lord. Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. You see, the Canaanites have been condemned. the Lord is going to destroy the people of Canaan because their sins are exceedingly multiplied. However, the Lord is giving them time to repent, to turn to the Lord. Canaanites were intelligent people. Canaanites were very skillful people. Canaanites were mighty, powerful people. And yet, they were gradually, but more and more rapidly destroying themselves, corrupting themselves with their sinful way of living. And the Lord is preparing the heirs of the land of Canaan through Abraham. It will take a long time, and the patience of the Lord is ended at the time of destruction of the Canaanites. But at that time, the Lord will have a people prepared to inherit the land of Canaan. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. You see, the Canaanites lived in the land. Abraham is a stranger, a pilgrim, and he is a tiny group of people. But the Canaanites are a massive, great nation. And yet the Lord told Abraham, this land I will give unto thee. This is going to be the land of thy people. And there Abraham builded an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. What was the purpose of building an altar? What were they going to do with that altar? I would think that they spent some time in that area, because the altar was a structure built in one place. It was not a portable thing that they could move along with them. So I would think that they spent some time there. And whenever we, the children of Abraham, according to the faith that started in the days of uncircumcision and continued until the end of Abraham's journey, we should also consider wherever we spend more than just an hour of our time, there should be an altar to the Lord. There should be a time of prayer, time of meditation, time and space and place reserved for reminding us, refreshing our memory, hey, we have a calling, we have a mission, we have a purpose for living here, and we have a goal that is way beyond our days we are going to spend in this world. So, after a while, they removed from that place unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and they spread their tents, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Wherever they spent some time, there was another altar. Now, I would think that as they left the first place, or they were packing up and leaving the first place, they did not destroy the altar. I think the altar was left there as a monument, as something to tell about a godly family spending some time there. And the altar was the altar unto the Almighty God, the possessor of heaven and earth. It was not an altar of the stars, a god of the stars. It was not an altar to the god of the sea world, or the forest, or the mountains, or the valleys, or the springs, or fertility, or this and that. These were the idols of the Gentiles. The God of Abraham was the possessor of heaven and earth, the Almighty God. And these altars were testimonies to the truth that there is but one God. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. Here come the time of testing. Before any of the promises of God were fulfilled, the great promises, the multitude of the descendants, a great people, many nations, nothing, not even a single child, the testing comes first. There is a famine in the land. Who is suffering the famine? All the people there, all the Gentiles, and yet the believer of the true God has to suffer also with them. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass that he was afraid. Fear. You know who is one of our great enemies as we follow the Lord? Fear. How many times the Lord said to his disciples, fear not, fear not. Where is your faith? O ye little faith, why do you fear? Not fearing was a continuous lesson, and we never learn enough of that. after so many years watching the wonderful goodness and mercy of the Lord, I still fear often. And many times the first feeling, the first sense when I hear news is fear. What's going to happen? What is the weapon, the shield that can stop those fiery darts of fear? The shield of faith. Trust in the Lord. Nothing without His will can happen. Not even a hair will fall from off our head. So it came to pass that Abraham was in fear. He is going into the land of Egypt. It's supposed to be a great civilization. And I don't know if you have heard this, but long ago I saw in one of the newspapers a cartoon. There is a village somewhere in Africa. And the young man is dressed up in European style and or Western style with a suitcase in his hand, and he is leaving the village, and at the door of the cottage there is an older woman. They're all African black people, and the woman is saying, "My son, be careful lest the white people eat you up." You know, in the civilization there is just as much threat as in New Guinea or Amazon or somewhere else. And I would say that the threat of living in our civilization or this world in which we live, that the threats are nothing less than the threats of the wild beasts and cannibals and all the things that seem to so threatening and awful to us when we listen about them, when we hear about them. It came to pass when Abram was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, "Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." I have a respect for a husband that is coming close to 80 years and still admiring the beauty of his wife. I think that's wonderful. But now he is in fear, and as often the husbands are tempted to feel that the beauty and the charm of their wives can be a burden and a threat to their safety. We see here that Abram had that problem. "Therefore it shall come to pass," he said to Sarai, "when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." A civilization, a great empire, a most advanced kingdom of their time, Egyptians. Abraham was afraid that they are wild people, and I'm afraid they were. Sinful people are always wild, but the wildest are those that say they are Christians, and yet they are not. Verse number 13 we read, Abraham is saying, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake." How is that? What a calculation. I think Abraham was quite a Jew, even though he was the first one. Quite a Hebrew. He has a calculation. He knows how to get rid of his fear, but he is also thinking, hey, that will bring some profit. The people will see a beautiful woman and they will pay a lot of attention to that. Egyptians were unsatiable in their admiration and lusting after the beauty of a woman. And he said, "And my soul shall live because of thee." You see, Abraham was a young believer. He was in advanced age. He was an older man, but he was a young believer. And his soul shall live if he takes care of that fear. The Lord is going to teach him otherwise, that his soul shall live if he trusts the Lord. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. A woman, over 60 years old, very fair. The princes also Pharaoh saw her, and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. There is not much negotiation. Pharaoh's wish is the law of the land. Pharaoh did exactly as Abram did calculate. Pharaoh entreated Abram well for her sake. And Abram had sheep and oxen and animals, cattle and men servants and maid servants, camels, everything. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And then Pharaoh searched out and wondered what's wrong. Why is his house plagued? And they realized that the plague started the day that Sarai was brought into the palace. And I imagine that the wise men and magicians and astrologers and all the wisdom of Egypt was brought to Pharaoh's service to help and figure out what's wrong, but the Lord made it clear to Pharaoh that the plagues are from the Lord God, the possessor of heaven and earth, because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning Abram, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. There was a great escort. Actually, they were cast out of the land of Egypt. They were exiles. You have to leave this country. Get out. And they had servants, maidservants, and a lot of cattle, and all of that. They go out. And around them are the soldiers and army officers of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Now you see that, what's going on in Abram's life. He has to wait for the promise of the Lord, and the fulfillment is not coming right away. What is Abram doing in the meantime? He didn't say, "Well, we have no children, and we don't know if we will have any. The Lord has promised, but so far nothing has happened. Who knows if that will ever happen? And if we are going to have some children, it might be one or two at the most, because we are old. So let's take it easy and let's just live and enjoy our life and let the Lord take care of his promises." No, Abram didn't say that. Why? Even though he was a fearful man, even though he did not know how great is the power of the Lord, he still believed. He believed the Lord. And Abram, in the days of his waiting, accumulated as much wealth and riches as possible. When the day of God's fulfillment comes, he will use it all. So when we are waiting for the Lord to reveal to us the next step of our pilgrimage, it is important that we do not live loose, aimless, idle life, but that we labor and that we save and that we accumulate as much as we can and just wait on the Lord. Of course, that does not mean that we should be selfish and stingy and that we should be self-indulgent, but rather our aim, our goal is to do God's will, invest in His program, not in our carnal desires of the flesh. And so they come on his journey from the south, even to Bethel, unto a place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, back to the first altar. After traveling to the land of Egypt and back, they came back to the same place. What happened? Is the famine still there? Apparently, it was over. The Lord used that famine to teach Abram that his safety, Abram's safety, and the life of his soul is not in the devices that Abram will make, that Abram's deception will see through. It was found out very easily. The safety of his soul and his wife's soul and the safety of all of his possession is in the Lord's protection. And that was a lesson to teach our father Abraham to use all that he has in the service to the Lord and to trust in the Lord.